friends, and welcome to another episode of The Co-op Show. I'm one of your hosts, Britt.
And I'm Jason.
And today we're talking about our time together greatly inconveniencing others in Untitled Goose Game. Give me a honk.
What?
Give me a honk. Really good.
Really? I mean,
yeah.
All right.
I'm very impressed. I think you have a new career ahead of you. So this game released in late 2019, but the free co-op update just came later in September 2020. This is described, I guess, as a puzzle game with some slight stealth mechanics if you're going to try to slap a conventional genre onto it. It is rated E for Everyone, developed by House House, published by Panic, available on the Switch, PS4, Xbox One, Steam, and Epic Game Store. It supports two-player local only co-op, and guess what? It's available on Game Pass.
Oh, yeah.
Game Pass Ultimate, rather, which is... killer deal. Anywho, it is normally $19.99, but it currently looks like this game is on sale for $14.99.
Oh, go get it.
So if you're, you know, one of our early listeners, you're going to catch that deal
Go catch it. It's worth it.
Catch it like a Pokemon. All right, so the plot overview of Untitled Goose Game is as follows. Untitled Goose Game is a slapstick stealth sandbox where you are a goose let loose on unsuspecting villagers. Make your way around town from people's back gardens to the high street shops to the village green, setting up pranks, stealing hats, honking a lot, and generally ruining everyone's day.
Yeah, that sounds like that's a pretty good description. I mean, this game... you are a goose, and you walk around, and you inconvenience people, That is the game. Like, you are just messing with people, and you have little to-do list items as you're messing with people, and you just check them off, and it's like,
it's so fun.
It's fun.
I'll never forget when this game first released, because the whole industry, I mean, granted, we weren't in 2020 yet, but it was just one of those breaths of fresh air, because it's one of those little sweet gems that's just kind of a feel-good game where... you know, sure, you just inconvenience people's days, but no, there's nothing bad that actually happens. And I'll also never forget sitting in the audience at the DICE Awards, DICE 2020, and Untitled Goose Game won Game of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
At the DICE Awards. Oh, yeah, you were there, too.
I was there,
It beat out Death Stranding. It beat out games like Control. I think The Outer Wilds was nominated as well. And it also won Game of the Year at GDC 2020.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I think the game... is very cute, and it is a breath of fresh air. Game of the Year seems like a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously Game of the Year is subjective, and there's so much criteria that could determine what a Game of the Year is.
Sure.
I just think in this case, I mean, I think right now we're seeing some feel-good games, kind of like Among Us and Fall Guys, but back then I think it was kind of rare to have one of these little gems like come out and get so popular. Even like celebrities like Chrissy Teigen were talking about it. So it was really popular just in general among the industry.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So you and I played this when it first came out in the single player mode only.
Yeah.
And I remember when you and I were playing it, we had a really fun time.
Yeah.
But we just kept wishing that it had a cooperative mode.
Yeah, the co-op works really well.
Yeah. And it was just announced on August 18th that a free multiplayer update was coming. And what this adds is, like we mentioned earlier, another goose. It's local co-op, so you have, like, the main goose that was part of the single-player story, and now you have this other goose, which has a unique honk and a more prominent knob on its beak.
Oh.
I like saying the word knob. Do you know what this knob is called? Trivia of the day.
No.
It's called a basal knob.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bet you didn't know that.
You know, I learned something, at least one new thing today.
There you go.
See, basil.
Listen to the co-op show. You'll
like
learn all about goose knobs.
Is that like the herb?
No, that's basil. This is basil. Well, I fucked the same thing. B-A-S-A-L. Anyway, we're getting off track, but that's what we like to do. So just a little bit of setting before we talk about the gameplay here. So this game is set in this quiet English village. It's very like proper-like. You know, everyone goes about their day. They're all well-dressed, and they're just reading their newspaper, sipping their tea, whatever those folks in.
Tending their shops. And
exactly. Living a good life and
tending their farms. And
the developers noted that the village is the antithesis of what the goose is all about. So that's kind of why they wanted the setting to be that way.
What does that mean? Like, how is a goose opposite from village?
So the village, like, think of it this way, is the super proper him. We're so, you know, quaint and well-kept.
Okay.
And then you have this goose that just comes around wreaking havoc, has no like shame. It just honks, destroys things, inconveniences everything, puts everything in disarray. That's how I interpreted it anyway.
Well, that it does.
In the main controls of this game, you just honk, you can duck down, you can grab things, you can flap your wings.
Yeah, flapping your wings has no effect, at least from what we could tell.
It just looks silly.
It looks silly.
Yeah.
Ducking down is used rarely. I mean, the main controls of this game are really just grabbing onto something and then dragging it around.
And honking.
And honking. That's those are like the two main mechanics of the game.
It's so cute,
it's very
too,
simple.
Because the way this game looks is all these like really cute pastel-y colors and these untextured models. So the people don't have any faces or anything, which I guess on paper sounds kind of creepy, but it works for this game.
Yeah, it looks cute.
Yeah. So yeah. So do you want to kind of run through like what a typical level would look like?
Yeah, let's do it.
You do it.
All right. Kick it off. Well, let's see. A typical level would see you, you and your goose friend walk into maybe, a garden, or maybe like a restaurant, or those are sort of two examples that stick out, or even someone's backyard, for instance. And within this area, when you walk in, a little to-do list kind of pops up, and it could contain items like make the farmer lose his hat,
give him a shower,
yeah, or break the vase, you know, things like that. And as a goose, you have to figure out, how am I going to get this to happen? How can I affect the world to make this happen? So another example of one that I'm thinking of is make the kid put on the wrong glasses.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a kid walking around wearing glasses, and if you honk at him at just the right time, he'll, like, get freaked out and his glasses will fall off. And then he's, like, looking around for him. And so if you place someone else's glasses on the ground when he's looking for his, he'll put those ones on. And so that's an example of how you check off that to-do list item. Mm-hmm. So you just mess with people. And you try to manipulate them to get them to do things that are on your to-do list.
Yeah.
And it's really funny messing with people. Like, that is, like, we're laughing the whole time.
Oh, yeah. How can you not? It's just so silly. And it's kind of fun to LARP like you're a goose.
It really
is. It's just
is.
One of those, you just, like, honk and flap your wings around. And so the way the game is kind of set up, like you said, there are these fun levels, like set pieces, that sounds a little too, like, professional for this game. Areas, locations, levels, sure. We shall call them.
Yeah.
And yeah, you get this little cute to-do list that's written on like this lined scrap piece of paper and all, you know, and as you knock those to-do list items off, you will unlock the next level that you can go to.
Yeah.
And I think there's like four different levels, maybe, I think it's four or five.
Yeah, four or five, something.
And
like
after you do all those levels, you complete the game, then you can start the game again, but then you have more intricate to-do items. So I feel, because we haven't hopped into the new game, the new tasks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just like new tasks popped up once the credits rolled.
Yeah, and I think they're a little bit more complicated. So I guess like the way a level can be complicated, I think about the restaurant level that you and I did.
Yeah.
And the hardest part about this level was we had to get inside this restaurant and infiltrate it and just kind of like inconvenience everyone, like steal like a mug, you know, knock a, what was like a box on someone's head or
a
something.
A bucket on someone's
head. Yeah.
Steal the pepper or whatever and put it on the table and have a quote picnic by like stealing enough items from the restaurant and putting them on this other random table.
Yeah, stuff like that. And I think that the main challenge that comes from this is that the humans in this game will always, obviously, if they see the goose, they will try to chase you off. And there is this automatic turn and flee that you can't really control, that if you have something or if a human approaches you, the goose will kind of turn around and run.
Yep.
I don't think the goose will always drop the item, but sometimes they will if the human goes to get it. Mm-hmm. So going back to the restaurant, there was like this bouncer at the beginning, and we had to figure out like, how do we get past this guy? And the way we got past him was we hid in a box.
Yeah.
Because there was a carrier picking up the box, walking it past the bouncer, putting the box into the kitchen of the restaurant, or the back area, and that's how we're able to infiltrate. But if you don't go in through the box, your option is to untie the guy's shoes, the bouncer's shoes, in which case he'll bend down to try to tie them again, and then if you're sneaky, you can run past him.
Yeah, and sometimes if you can untie his shoes and then he chases after you, he'll trip and fall over his shoelaces and face plant.
Yeah, so I would say like that's the main puzzle element that's working against you in this game are the people. And not only that, the people always try to reset the stage.
Yeah.
So for example, there's this one area where this lady has this like shop. It's like an outside garage sale almost.
Yeah.
And if you go and like pick up things and drop them and drag them around or whatnot, she'll take the time to try to put everything back in the way it was.
Yeah.
So in that sense, you kind of have to be clever and I guess and quick.
Yeah. She'll try and shoo you away with the broom first. And then, you know, once she gets you out, then she just starts putting everything back in order. So, it can be straight. You have to be kind of sneaky. There's timing to it. You know, you can use your co-op partner to say, hey, go distract the woman while I go steal the item from the shop that we need for this checklist, right? So, because one of the checklist items is like, fill your shopping cart with like a toothbrush, you know, and some soap and like three other items. But in order to get all those things into your cart, you need to be sure that the woman isn't seeing you do it, or
that's
else she'll
put
them
back. Send your partner after them.
Send your partner out.
That's a good point. So we both played the single player, and now we've played it co-op. How do you feel about the co-op in this game?
I thought it was really fun. I mean, the levels and the puzzles changed, like, they didn't change at all from what I could tell from the single player and the co-op. So we were able to do the puzzles in single player and then the exact same puzzles in co-op. But I felt like it was just more fun. Like, there was no reason why not to play it in co-op. It was fun to just sort of gnome around and inconvenience people and do it together. It made it more fun.
So we're going to take a little aside here because Jason just used the word gnome.
I wondered if you would aside
for those of you wondering, like, what does gnome mean? You should be the one to explain this because you're the one who has given me the term.
Gnome can be used as either a noun or a verb.
I think you use it as a verb more often than not.
As a verb, it could be defined as to slightly inconvenience.
Jason always says I'm a gnome and he says I gnome everything. Essentially, I just kind of slightly inconvenience his life. I'll like put something where it doesn't belong. Oh my God. I am the goose.
Yeah, you are.
I am the goose.
This is why I think you loved this game so much, because you were...
It allows me to be myself.
You were personified as your true, authentic you in Untitled Goose Game.
I think a prime example is when I always... He's like, hey, babe, have you seen my phone charger? Sorry.
Yeah, well, usually it's plugged in on your side of the bed.
Yeah, and because
even though we've bought you like three
phone charging
cables,
listen,
and you keep losing them.
It's an ordeal. But no, going back to your point, I agree, and I think this game definitely works better with co-op. And
it's just more fun with someone.
I think it speaks to, you know, the fun level design in the sense that I don't think anything really needed to be changed when they were adding the co-op patch. Mm-hmm. I think there might have been some few new things. Like, I don't know if those walkie-talkies that we got to use at one point were new, but we don't have to go into that too much. But
no.
So, like, that could have been something new, maybe, maybe not. But, yeah, I agree. I think this game is absolutely made for co-op, but I think it's the best experience in co-op.
It's just a good time. It's just, like, it's a so feel-good. Good. There's no stress. There's no, like, adrenaline. This game is just, like, sit back, chill, have a laugh with your co-op partner, and just... make your way through these interesting puzzles and gnome the shit out of people.
Gnome, we're going to start using it from now on.
Yeah, now that we've defined it, we can use it.
Yeah, and I think this game is super suitable for, obviously, all ages. Like, it's just, you know, like I said, it's something you can play with, like, literally everyone. And, oh, my God, my dog. I love our dog so much. Here, we're going to take an aside now to talk about our dog. He is sitting at my feet, and he is just slurping away, and it is the most disgusting, vile sound.
I just nudged him.
In the absolute world. And he's like, fun, I guess I'll stop. Nope, there he keeps going.
Now he licked my foot as I'm trying to
dogs
nudge
are fantastic, everyone.
Dogs are great.
Get used to the little cameos from our dog, Rev. Yep. He's going to be here a lot.
Yep.
The only thing, I guess, worth noting is that there were a few instances where some of the levels could be kind of confusing. I think about specifically the one where you had to drop the bucket on the guy's head.
That was difficult.
That was a little difficult. It took a few tries. And, like, there's nothing wrong with trial and error. I feel like in the spirit of this game, that's what that's all about. But the only issue was that the scene can take a while to, and I air quote this, reset.
Yeah.
In a sense, like, the person that needs to go where you need them to be so you can aggro them to do the thing you need them to do can take some time.
Yeah, and you're going to fail a couple times before you finally figure out exactly what position the person needs to be in order for the thing to happen that you need to happen.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of trial and error, and that in itself means that you're going to, like, spend some time just trying to do this one item, and it can get frustrating because you're like, why didn't that work? It should have, you know.
It should have worked because we're all knowing, and we are the video game masters, and we know what we're doing, but probably just mostly... human error. Also, just worth noting, this game can be finished in, I don't know, like 2 to 4 hours. I guess I say four because I think if we were to go back and do all those other new to-do list items. But you and I
blew the post-credit stuff.
Yeah, the post-credit stuff. You and I blew through the first part in like what, an hour and a half?
Yeah, hour and a half. And with that, I would say that we did play this a year or two ago when it first came out. So we were somewhat familiar already with the puzzles. Mm-hmm. So we did have that going for us. But I mean, you know, it's not like we were fresh with the puzzles. It was like, oh, I recognize this. Oh, I kind of remember what to do here.
And I do think it goes quicker when you have a co-op partner as well.
It does. It makes it a little easier because you can distract somebody while the other person does what you need to do.
Yeah. And I think this would also be a fun little party game too. Think about it. Like, you have the family sitting in front of the TV playing Untitled Goose Game and passing the controller around. It's just really fun.
People are just going to giggle as they're watching it.
Yeah, it's just one of those games. So I think, I mean, that's all I really have. Do you have any, you know, deep thoughts about Entitled Goose Game?
I mean, this is not a deep game. Like, no. I don't know that there are really deep thoughts that one could have. I'd be interested if anybody did. There's nothing quite philosophical about this game. It is a simple, it's a fairly shallow, but simple, cute, fun, and funny game that gives you smiles and giggles the whole time you're playing. And that is absolutely, to me, worth doing with a co-op partner, especially if it's only $15. Yeah, do it. You're going to have a good time.
Well, I say free on Game Pass. I guess that's not necessarily true.
No additional cost on Game Pass.
Yeah, there you go. If you already paid for Game Pass Ultimate, man, you know, $15.99 a month. Yeah. There you go.
So don't overthink this one. If you're listening and you haven't played it yet, just go do it. I mean, I don't know who wouldn't like this game. It's just silly and goofy and puts a smile on your face.
Makes you, whatever you said, have giggles.
Yeah.
Giggle time.
Yep.
All right, well, I have nothing more to add, and I agree with everything you said. Yay, marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you liked this episode of The Co-op Show and you want to let us know how much you liked it, please feel free to leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice. If you want to get in touch, you can email us at contact@coopshow.com. You can find me on Twitter at BlondeNerd, and you can watch all of our other... Well, you can watch all. You can't watch anything, actually. You can only listen to our content. We've talked about perhaps doing some video content in the future. We have.
We have.
We have. And we're still kind of noodling on how we want to do that. But you can watch. No, you can't watch. I said watch again. You can see all of our prior episodes at coopshow.com. Did I stick that
you
landing?
You can see a list of our private episodes, which you can then listen to if you want to.
That's kind of fucked up. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next week.
See you later, guys.
Goodbye.